individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call in to today's guest or our show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And with that, I have Bob Bird on the phone with me. How you doing, Bob?
Getting older by the minute.
Now, you're not only a radio host yourself, so I'm under microscope scrutiny here, but you're also the chairman of the Alaska Independence Party, I believe.
Yes, I'll make one slight correction. Alaskan.
Alaskan, okay.
And at the end, and you know, I always, but that was 99% there, David. Many people think that the Alaskan Independence Party is a party for the independent voter, and it's not. It's, in fact, a very partisan type of party, and they should double-check to make sure they're in the right party. I sometimes have to tell my liberal friends, do you know what we stand for? Oh, you're an independent party. No. And after we have a discussion, then they rethink their membership. So.
Well, what is your basis of the Alaskan Independence Party?
Well, it was founded by Fairbanks and Joe Vogler.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Vogler was a genius, an embittered genius, but he was right in so many things. He discovered sometime in the 1970s that the United States government made a promise when they joined the UN in 1945, along with France and England and Portugal and the Netherlands and all these colonial powers, they were going to give all of their overseas colonies four options within 50 years. Those four options were to be to remain a colony, to become part of the mother country, which we would call statehood in our American culture, or commonwealth, or independence. But Alaska and Hawaii, at our statehood votes, we were only offered two of those options, remain a territory or become a state. And so the whole purpose of the party is to call out the federal government for failing to fulfill its obligation to Alaska and Hawaii, and they certainly obeyed it with Puerto Rico and the Philippines and Guam and the Virgin Islands. But they did not for Alaska and Hawaii. And so many people call us a secession party, which is not true. What we want is to have the Philippines did not secede from the United States. They just exercised their treaty option.
Mm-hmm.
And so we believe that the statehood vote should be redone with those four options. You can't get the legislature or the governor or even our congressional delegation to take this ball and run with it. And that's the reason why this party exists. There's no guarantee what the people of Alaska would vote for, you understand.
Exactly.
And Puerto Rico still has this option. They're trying to apply for statehood. Guam, which is a territory, is considering independence. So all this business that the misunderstanding, we have two misunderstandings. One, that we're a party for independent voters, which we're not. The second is that we're a secession party, which we're not. Because unilateral secession is stupid, especially when you have a small population and we can't defend ourselves. When the Philippines opted for independence, they had a wonderful treaty with the United States, and that was Filipinos could enlist in the American military and ask for a posting in the Pacific Rim. That way they would defend their own country and be part of the U.S. Armed Forces. And it's a wonderful option that the Philippines took for themselves. So whatever Alaskans decide, and you saw the polls recently, that 36% of Alaskans leads all other states wanting to secede. And I would say you don't have to secede if that means a unilateral action. You can just ask for the treaty options being restored to us.
And go through the four options again, please.
Yeah. Remain a territory or a colony, statehood or blending with the mother country.
Commonwealth.
Commonwealth, which is what Puerto Rico has had. And then independence.
Okay.
And so one of the things that I find most intriguing is that Alaska voted in 1980 successfully to reassess our relationship with the federal government. That's, you can go look it up. It passed by 1,000 votes in 1980.
I know, I voted for that.
Yes, so did I. And what Governor Hammond did was just simply bury it in a blue ribbon committee, which did nothing about it. It was a nothing burger.
You know, I remember that I was outside of college in Central Coast of California, and I had a car with Alaska license plates on it. And literally people would come up and ask me about that and the position. And I'd just bring up Jimmy Carter and
Ilka
and a few other things and how our statehood compact has never been fulfilled and how the federal government is just taking over our resources, not allowing us to develop it, and we're mad.
And the thing that makes me maddest, because I'm what I call a recovering Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was a Buchanan delegate to the 1996 presidential convention. I was a great supporter of Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
But Republicans are too timid to push this. The AIP can't do this alone. And if there's anything that we would like to have done is that conservatives will get on this bandwagon and start pressuring our congressional delegation and our legislature and our governor to claim what is rightfully ours. And so that's the mission of the party. And, of course, we're a libertarian-esque party. We believe in the minimum government. And so we react to the local issues of the day, of course. And that is part and parcel about what Republicans generally do on the grassroots level as well. So I have lots of allies in the Republican Party, but unless and until the Republican Party gets on board with the four options, the AIP has a vitally important role to play in this state, and we are the third largest party in the state. Most people are shocked to learn that our membership is 25% the size of the Democrats.
What is the overall percentage of state voters?
Now, that I can't tell you. Because
I know you have to be a specific level to be on the ballot. Yep. Well, you used to be anyway. Now they don't have that with ranked choice voting.
Well, we have to have at least 3% of the vote in a statewide election, meaning U.S.
And you've never had an issue with that either.
Oh, we've always qualified. We've always qualified. So we've always qualified as a full-fledged party. And, of course, there's times when we are treated that way and there are times that we're not. The last time I was on your show, by the way, and I'm intrigued and charmed by the fact that you haven't changed your theme song in 35 years. Neither.
It's probably longer than that.
Neither is it with the sound off showing.
I know.
So it's very recognizable.
You know, I never really knew the song until I started listening to the show, and that was in the 80s, you know, and what the heck.
Well, I think it's that has a charm and a consistency to it, and I have to tell you that I've been in love with Fairbanks since I first saw it in 1975. It was 94 degrees when I arrived.
Yeah, exactly, and can get probably 50, 60 below in that winter, too.
I've been there as a hockey coach from Kenai. I'd come up to play West Valley and Lathrop and North Pole in the old days when the Big Dipper rink was a cold weather rink.
Open doors, yes. I learn how to skate there.
So I know what 45 below and 50 below is like, and I still find it charming. So Fairbanks, I never get tired of being in the interior. To me, it even smells nice in the interior, okay?
Bob, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back after the commercials, okay?
Thank you.
And Fairbanks, if you want, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Kim Driftmeyer with McKinley Orthopedics, Sports Medicine, and Spine. We all know that Alaska is a place of great adventure, but unfortunately, sometimes these adventures can lead to accidents. If you or a loved one suffers a sprain, broken bone, or even throw out your back or neck, come into McKinley Orthopedics Urgent Care Walk-In Clinic. Our team of nine providers, all trained in orthopedics and sports medicine, will help get you back to your adventure in no time. Save yourself the time and money of an emergency room visit and come see us on Geist Road. Our orthopedic urgent care requires no appointment, and we are open Monday through Saturday until 8 p.m. McKinleyOrtho.com.
That's okay. I'm using social media to market my company, said people with businesses that have closed. Social media is a great way to reach a few regulars, but when you want to reach the other 70% of the local public, there's only one way to get them: local radio. Local radio reaches nearly 90% of the public on a daily basis. That's why every nonprofit, car dealership, and successful business in town depends on us. Whether it's a sale, a new location, local radio reaches the most people, period. We're Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station.
KFAR weather.
Overcast skies today with daytime highs approaching 38. Northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight, 15. High temperatures reach up to 43. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. A dusting of snow Thursday through Thursday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prue's in the studio, and I have an announcement to make before I go back to our caller, Bob Bird, and that's that Mark Thompson, you are the official Goose Call winner. The arrival time was yesterday on April 7th at 12:15 p.m. Congratulations. You're the man. You're the myth. You're the legend. Give us a call, and you are the $500 winner. So, Bob, we're having a conversation with you and Goose winners. How about that? Only in Fairbanks.
I wish I had known about that, because I can give a pretty doggone good Goose call.
I had the biologist who is the Kramer's bird refuge. I have him on every year, and we go through that, you know, the goose, the different birds in the refuge, and that was last week, and he was giving them over the air, so that was done with all sorts of different birds, and he's pretty good at it. So now let's look at the founding of the Alaskan Independence Party. You know, Joe Vogler, I remember meeting him, and very fixated, I would say, in regards to his belief and his belief that the federal government was almost acting in a criminal contempt of the state of Alaska. So
that's, you know, not hard to believe now, is it?
No, it's not. No, it's not. So how did he go about becoming the founder or the fixture of the Alaskan Independence Party movement?
Well, I think it began with the with statehood, of course. There were certain obligations, and one of them was to give the Alaska's natives the first crack at lands.
Mm-hmm.
They claimed 10%, and it was done through the corporate venue, which, by the way, this party understands that not all the natives wanted to be corporatized, and that's a different issue, but natives have always looked upon the AIP with a sympathetic glance. And what we call ANCSA, Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, in 1971, Section D2, then gave the federal government the options of pulling in 65% of the land. Alaska, the state of Alaska, were really only 25% the size of our state. insofar as how we're going to manage fish and game, and as far as how we're going to manage other properties. And then only 1% or even less than that is in private ownership, which is absolutely incredible.
Absurd.
Yeah. And so with that, new restrictions started popping up. And, of course, Vogler was a miner, and all of a sudden he had access issues. Oh, no, you can't go.
I remember his famous taking the DA cat on the RS-2477 trail and saying, kiss my backside.
Yeah, right. And, of course, he got himself politically organized. I think he was a lawyer. I think he had a law degree. So he had the legal mind. He had the willpower, which is probably the most important thing of all. And he had the intelligence to organize and to show in a very methodical way that, in fact, the United States government was an outlaw in many, many things. I go to even, see, I'm a constitutionalist, and I'm going to tell you flat out, the U.S. Constitution tells you exactly what the United States federal government is entitled to own. You'll find it in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. It's not to exceed 10 square miles, or 10 miles square, which is 100 square miles, of the federal capital. That's Washington, D.C. And it was sold by the state of Maryland. And it only took 63 square miles, so that's interesting. And then it says specifically that the federal government is entitled to own forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. There's nothing in there about national parks, national forests, national wildlife refuges, national monuments, even national cemeteries and national battlefields. If you want to have that, you have to constitutionalize it with an amendment. But they were created after the war between the states had destroyed states' rights in both the South and the North. That's what people don't realize. If you look at a map of federal property, the Mississippi, or even east of what's called the Middle Border. The Middle Border is an old term that goes north to south from the western Minnesota, western Iowa, western Missouri, goes straight on down to Louisiana. The properties that the federal government owns east of there had to be sold and under certain conditions. Like if you wanted a national forest in Kentucky, fine. But all the properties, the private properties there had to be respected. So, but you get into situations where the federal properties west of the Mississippi or west of the Middle Border were simply grabbed when a state came into the Union. Nevada owns only 13% of its property. In that regard, they're worse off than Alaska. And there's these, to show you what a tyranny this can quickly become, this woman in Colorado, one of the many national forests there, she had her home, a couple acres, I guess, in a rural setting, inside the boundaries of a national forest. Well, one day she found a gate, and it said, you don't have access to this road unless you pay, I don't know, $5 a year. And then they give you a key. She said, I don't need to pay to get to my house. And she ran up a lawsuit that cost her much more than what the $5 a year would have cost her. But and once you surrender a principal, you're in big, bad trouble.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So many, of course, that's suppressed news. And exactly how that, I used that the last time I ran for the U.S. Senate to point out how tyrannical federal properties are and how unconstitutional they are. There's a difference between being popular, which national parks obviously are, and being constitutional. Let me give you a further example. Even the Air Force is not constitutional, which is why it was originally called the Army Air Corps. But again, after World War II, they weren't even bothering. They were bothering with constitutional scruples before then, but after World War II and the Air Force was so important and so popular after what it proved during the war, that they just created the Air Force. But it says in the Constitution that the federal government is to constitute an army and a navy. So as the Army Air Corps, the Air Force was a support for the ground troops, you understand. But now it's its own division. It needs to be constitutionalized.
And we now have a Space Force.
There you go. And you see, the 10th Amendment is the most ignored part of the Constitution. And the 10th Amendment says, basically, that the federal government can only exercise the powers that are specifically written down. And the Federalist Papers will confirm that. So, if you're saying,
let's go back to how the Alaska Independence Party, Alaskan Independence Party, was founded.
Okay, so Vogler, realizing that from statutes, even the federal government wasn't obeying its own rules, let alone the constitutional aspects, he figured that the only way we could ever develop our resources was to go independent, you see. And that's when he discovered the UN Treaty of 1945 for Non-Self-Governing Territory, Section 73. And so he formed the Alaskan Independence Party late 70s, early 80s, especially when Jimmy Carter...
Antiquities Act time.
Yep. And the Antiquities Act, of course, was another stretch of executive power.
Oh, and they all do it now.
He couldn't get the bill passed in 1979, but he did in 1980 with Ted Stevens' help. So that's why the party came into existence. Vogler wanted independence for Alaska. Our party today, under my leadership, wants to have the four options restored. And, of course, even Vogler admitted, hey, I can't control what the people of Alaska will think. But let's go back and revisit secession. If you read the inaugural address of Thomas Jefferson, he says, let those who wish to dissolve this union do so. And there was in the North a movement for the New England states to secede. It got worse during the War of 1812. And then John Quincy Adams, as a congressman just before he died, was so angry about Texas being admitted into the Union as a slave state, he said, by this time, I'm sure the New England states will secede rather than be part of a Union that takes Texas in. So, and he called it the right of the people to do so. And guess who else said it was? This is a shock. Congressman Abraham Lincoln said it in 1846. So if there's a conflict, if the Congressman Lincoln is in conflict with President Lincoln of 16 years later. So the whole concept of a secession is legal. It is constitutional, notwithstanding what judges and courts and politicians say or think. But the AIP is not in favor of unilateral secession. It's in favor of the U.S. government following its treaty obligation.
Giving a choice, yeah, one of the four choices.
Right, and it should be always available to us like it is for Puerto Rico.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a commercial break, and then when we come back, you know, we'll go into a few more items with you. And Fairbanks, we're going to give you some bumper music, which is Genesis' Land of Confusions. That most likely came from Glenner. He's into that stuff. Then we're going to go into some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and we will be back.
We'll be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
I'm Tom Graham. The parents of a Michigan school shooter have each been sentenced to at least 10 years in prison. Prosecutors argue James and Jennifer Crumbly could have prevented their son from opening fire at his high school.
Could have halted an oncoming runaway train.
Judge Cheryl Matthews, the pair of the first parents to be convicted following a mass shooting. Their son, Ethan, was previously sentenced to life behind bars after taking the lives of four of his classmates. Pro-Palestinian protesters interrupting Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin in a meeting of the Senate Armed Services Committee. Now, demonstrators have been critical of the Biden administration's support of Israel. The Senate meeting was to determine U.S. military spending for the upcoming fiscal year. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports that utilities in Alaska's rail belt are getting closer to importing natural gas as legislators debate energy bills intended to bridge a looming shortfall of Cook Inlet gas. Natural gas is used to generate more than 80% of the rail belt's heat and power. Since Hilcor told utilities in 2022 that its contracts would not automatically be extended, utility managers have discussed importing natural gas as likely the best available alternative. Power and heating prices would be expected to increase substantially. The Alaska Department of Natural Resources expects a Cook Inlet gas shortfall by 2027. The supply gap is expected to grow exponentially larger in subsequent years without new gas production. Large-scale imports of gas will likely not be available until 2030 due largely to federal permitting requirements, according to consultants for NSTAR. John Sims, president of NSTAR, told legislators last week that small-scale LNG imports by barge are possible sooner, but he said they're much more expensive.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Comfortable, friendly, professional, and yes, affordable. Those are just some of the words locals use to describe the service they receive from the folks at Affordable Dental Care. Let's face it, nobody loves going to the dentist, but the staff at Affordable Dental Care go above and beyond to make sure you and your entire family's dental experience is an easy one, using the latest technology and procedures with your comfort and care in mind and at a price that your family can afford. That's Affordable Dental Care on 14th Avenue just off Airport Way. Affordable Dental Care.
It would be great to have $10,000, but better than that, having $10,000 and helping the Yukon Quest. Yukon Quest raffle tickets are now available for purchase. Tickets are only $100 with a chance to win $10,000 cash and other prizes. The cost of the ticket includes delicious appetizers and a marvelous time at the North Pole Ale House. Tickets can be purchased at the Turtle Club, Just Haircuts, or the North Pole Ale House, or at the Yukon Quest office in person or over the phone. There are only 250 tickets available, so get yours today.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here. And I have Bob Bird calling in. He is the chairman of the Alaskan Independence Party. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. It got me on the other side of the kitchen right now. That's fine.
Okay. So how is your political party structured?
Well, let's put it this way. We don't have any money. We're structured with brains and not much financial resources. We're having a convention in Fairbanks, first time since 2008, a week from Saturday. It'll be at the Roundup Steakhouse from 10 to 5. People can register and pay their fee and join the party right there. And we're very generous about that.
Well, say that date again.
Yep. It'll be at Saturday, April 13th, at the Roundup Steakhouse in Fairbanks.
This Saturday.
April 13th.
Well, today's the 9th.
Yes, excuse me. Yes. This Saturday. And we'll be holding the convention there. We'll talk about resolutions and platform, rules, nominations, and so forth. So I'm the chairman and have been since Lynette Clark died in 2020. Then we have a vice chairman north, that's Arthur Surkov of Fairbanks, a vice chairman south, which is the great Rick David, who was part of the Reagan administration in the Interior Department in the 80s. He's vice chairman south. Mark Chrysan is our parliamentarian and a former chairman of the party. Michael Chambers is our secretary. And Phil Morin is in charge of membership. We were, let's put it this way, adrift from 2008 until 2020. Lynette just basically kept the paper.
You were a name only, but not an operational detail.
Yeah, she kept the paperwork up to date. But when she died, I said, well, I'm not going to let this party die. What Joe Vogler and the Spirit of Alaska require is that we keep this option alive, let the people of Alaska know. God in his good time will give us the opportunity for people to listen to the message. It's quite reasonable. It's quite conservative. It's quite libertarian. And we're a pro-life party. I would not be chairman unless we understood that without children, there's no future.
Everyone on earth has a mother.
Joe avoided that because he avoided that simply because he was a disgruntled miner with so many others there in the interior, and it was our economic livelihood we had to worry about. But now it's pretty obvious the attack on humanity has reached almost mad. Well, it has reached madhouse levels. Whether I don't care what the issue is, it's far more than just the abortion issue. And if we ignore that, we lose credibility. So party itself now will never lose sight of the fact that we exist because of the four options need to be claimed by Alaskans themselves. The federal government will not come up and present to us, we're sorry, we've been overlooking this. That's not going to happen. We've got to force them to fulfill their treaty obligations.
Do you have anyone running for U.S. Senate, governor, House of Representatives, or any state offices?
Well, there's no U.S. Senate seat up this cycle, and or nor governor. So as to who might decide to run against Peltola, we have no idea. We had numerous people come out of the woodwork from the AIP. To run for those statewide offices recently. But we do have Tyler Ivanoff. I think he's in Shaktulik. He's going to run for the State House. He came very close to winning last year. And then Andy Chizik of Soldana gained a lot of votes in the state Senate seat, which was won by Jesse Bjorkman. And Chizik is going to do that again. So, yeah, we do have a couple of serious candidates with a good chance of winning in this fall's state legislative elections.
Okay. Well, what do you do in your spare time to help your party?
Well, let me tell you that I practically felt like I was a candidate for office 2 years ago. It was the AIP which led the charge against ranked choice voting with a lawsuit, which was under the party's name and under my name, and also OHAS of the Libertarian Party. And, of course, we lost that suit, but somebody had to challenge it. We're doing this for the Republicans.
I still can't believe that the state Supreme Court ruled that this was only one item under the election law.
Right. That's one reason why it's unconstitutional. But the Supreme Court does anything it wants to.
I know it does.
And so if you wonder why people have lost confidence in so many of our institutions, the judiciary led the way decades ago, but it's caught up to some of the others. But so that's not only were we leading the charge, and the Republican Party did not institutionally join that lawsuit, I want to point out. And it was that ranked choice voting, or Proposition 2, which took away their semi-closed primary.
You ready for a phone call?
What's that?
You ready for a phone call?
I am ready for a phone call. I will say one other thing about the fact that when the Constitutional Convention vote was out 2 years ago, it was the Alaskan Independence Party and myself, which crisscrossed the state, giving speeches and debates and interviews like this all over the state. Of course, we lost that, and for reasons we can talk about later, but I'm ready for a phone call.
Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFVR Radio, and your name is?
This is Charles. I wanted to talk about the Sagebrush Rebellion of the 70s and 80s and Dick Randolph's era of libertarian election, pretty much record-breaking voting for the Libertarian Party here in Alaska. And also the Constitution supposedly has changed several times since Lincoln started the shooting war. And those are two subjects that I'd like to bring up. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Charles. You have a good day. Bye.
So he spoke of the Sagebrush Rebellion, and of course, we called it the Tundra Rebellion here.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we had allies in Wyoming, in Nevada, in Montana, of course, all over. What's interesting, of course, Colorado was a very conservative state still at that time.
Boy, has that changed.
Yeah, no kidding. And one of the reasons why the Sagebrush Rebellion died is because Rick Davidge, who's the vice chairman south of this party, was brought into the Reagan administration and was personally asked by Ronald Reagan to mitigate the absurd regulations that were coming out of the Department of Interior to Western ranchers and loggers and so forth, you see. And David successfully fulfilled Reagan's promise. Now, here was the danger of it, and David says so in his own book. He said, because the work he did ended this blooming tyranny of the federal government in Western properties, people got complacent. Hey, we solved it, you see. But you see, you're never going to win every election.
No, you're not.
And so when you get a different administration,
like this one,
Secretary, you're back to the problem of the fact that all of these properties are unconstitutional. That's how you would say, really correct it. And David knows that now. So that's what happened to the Sagebrush Rebellion. The second thing he brought up was what?
Oh, boy, I forget.
I know. Oh, about Lincoln. I don't know what.
The shooting war.
Yeah. Yeah, what I call the war for Southern independence.
Mm-hmm.
Really accurately, more accurate than a civil war, because a civil war is a fight to control the government. The South was trying to get away from the government, not control it. And the South bears its blame in that war. But the memory of Abraham Lincoln and even Andrew Jackson set the table for Lincoln. That secession was perfectly legal. Jackson threatened to invade South Carolina in 1832 over that, over nullification. And then, of course, Lincoln just picked up on that 30 years later. The northern newspapers were all in favor of letting the South go. There was a huge anti-war movement in the North. People forget that. It's suppressed. Nobody, as true a historian, understands that there was this huge anti-war movement in the North. And the fact that Lincoln was considered a dictator while he was president, that is getting new traction and sort of a renaissance amongst...
He got rid of habeas corpus.
Yeah, right. Oh, you go on and on. Rigged elections. He rigged elections in Maryland so that it wouldn't secede. See, he had northern troops moving in from New England and vote in Maryland elections. And then he had spies at every polling place to keep secession-minded citizens from voting. It's rigged elections.
Bob, we're going to take our last commercial break. And Fairbanks, if you have a question, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
You may have a very busy day planned today. I, on the other hand, have but one task, and I do it every day of the year. As your septic tank and your friend, please remember that while you're out doing your work, that I, your friend, your septic tank, am doing mine. Buried in your yard. Please have Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing pump me out once a year. It keeps me regular. I promise to last much longer and serve you much better.
With stores in Anchorage, Wasilla, North Pole, Fairbanks, and throughout North America, Glass Doctor is your locally owned and operated solution when you need a windshield. With our G12 Road Hazard Guarantee, you get 1 year peace of mind, knowing we will fix or replace your windshield if it gets damaged or broken for free in Alaska, where they put rocks on the road, like, on purpose. It's practically a buy one, get one free kind of a deal. And only at Glass Doctor.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your pains.
Oh, yeah. KFAR, weather.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 38. Northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 15. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 43. A dusting of snow Thursday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. And again, the announcement on the Goose official Goose Watch time and winner is Mark Thompson. And the date was April 7th. On the 11th hour of the 11th minute. Boy, if this was 1911, I mean 1918, 11th hour of the 11th month, what the heck? Isn't that right, Bob?
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a very well-known coincidence, and there are so many others, so you take it or leave it, all right?
Well, true. So, in a... what is the Alaska Independence Party looking at doing in regard to getting voter turnout to repeal ranked choice voting?
Well, I've been promoting it on my own talk show, of course. We did more work. We did the heavy lifting for the Constitutional Convention. So, and also I wrote the ballot explanatory wording for the ballot, which tried to get people to understand that we do need a new constitution. And by the way, we don't have to wait 10 years. All you need is to have the legislature decide we need to have a constitutional convention, and then the people would then vote on it. So right now I'd have to say ranked choice voting, yes, we're going to be promoting that as an issue. But when it came to... the other things I want to say that our party took the leadership on, Michael Chambers led two gigantic COVID conferences with world-class physicians that went against the government narrative and have been, of course, proved and justified as the correct positions about vaccines and alternative treatments and so forth.
Hey, are you ready for a phone call? We got someone calling in.
Okay, go ahead.
Yep. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Good morning, David. This is Ron.
Hello, Ron.
I hate to interrupt, but I wanted to infect your mind with something you brought up earlier in the show, Mr. Vogler. And this is probably a subject for you and Joni to get into, but the killing of Joe Vogler and the chase for Manfred West.
Yeah. They figured out his nephew did it.
So, but anyway... thanks for letting me interrupt for a moment.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. You take care, Ron.
Yeah, well, he's right. That most of AIP members, and Jack, the late, great Jack Coghill Sr., was perfectly convinced that it was a deep state murder and not Manfred West. So, and I won't go into that right now, but I'll simply say that...
you know, they never let go of the deep state theory until they found his body.
Right. You know, Vogler was 1 week away from getting an audience to the Iranian embassy on the floor of the United Nations to bring Alaska's four options to the fore. And don't tell me that was just a coincidence that he disappeared a week before he was flying to New York.
Well, you know.
So we're not convinced that Manfred West was the real murderer. He confessed, which meant that there was no trial, and any inconsistencies would have been brought out through examinations in a trial. And so I think it was very convenient. But I won't go into that right now because we're dealing with a subject that I am convinced by the AIP's elder statesman that their skepticism of the Vogler murder is far more plausible.
So you're looking at a large get-out-the-vote to repeal ranked choice voting.
Yeah, if we can get by the latest Scott Kendall lawsuits, yeah.
What makes you think you're going to be able to? Because he is lockstep with the deep state of the judiciary. I mean, my God.
Well, did you? Yeah, I know Dr. Douglas Frank showed up in Fairbanks. Did he get any airtime with you?
No.
Well,
didn't know about him.
The Douglas Frank explains exactly how the Dominion voting machines rigged the elections.
Hmm.
And it's not that they're overturning the data. It's that they talk to the nearest cell tower, and the people running the polling place don't even realize this. Just like your iPhone, you know, can track you to the nearest cell tower?
Yeah.
All right, the Dominion voting machines, all their data is read. It is, then they know where the shortfall needs to be made up with mail-in ballots. So until we get rid of these machines, I wouldn't trust any election. I had RFK on my show last Thursday, if you didn't know. He gave us an exclusive interview, commercial-free, for 45 minutes, and he said, every system can be hacked. Don't tell me that it can't be. And in fact, Dr. Douglas Frank hacked it right on the desktops of six different secretaries of state. He's been to 48 states and 800 counties. He shows how easy it is. A high schooler can hack into the Dominion voting machine. And so we have had these machines. They're not all just Dominion. There are other types. But they were a gift from the federal government after the contested election of 2000. So at that point on, I'd say the fix was in, and we voter...
No more hanging chads?
Yeah, hanging chads, yeah, right. See, voter confidence now is so low in voter confidence in the honesty of our elections is so low nationwide that I think it's the fix is in. So you can get all the... commercials you want. Of course, the propaganda arm that you find out that buried our Constitutional Convention vote, George Soros put $8 billion into ads in this state, and all we were able to do is our pocket change of $40,000 from Alaskans. Yet that outdid the amount of contributions that Alaskans gave to the no vote. So consider that. In other words, the yes vote raised $40,000. All that other money to bury the Constitutional Convention vote came from the lower 48 and George Soros. So it is incredible how the deep state sees that Alaska's low-hanging fruit because we have a low population, low voter turnout. They can control us.
Hmm. Okay, well. Welcome to our local elections.
I reiterate before we run out of time that the AIP convention is this Saturday at the Roundup Steakhouse in Fairbanks, starting at 10 o'clock. We'll probably go to 5. We're going to conduct our business. We'll probably have a couple of candidates for office. Ivanov and Cizek will be there, or they'll be there by Zoom. And... we'll conduct our business, and we hope people register at the door, pay the $100 fee for the convention, and become part of the AIP. I want.
What's your agenda outline?
our agenda is to go through our platform, our resolutions, our nominations.
And do you have a location on online where they can take a look at your party, your platform, your and everything like that?
Two locations, akip.org, akip.org. That's the older one.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the history and our past platforms and so forth. And the newer one is AIPLiberty.com, AIPLiberty.com. Both those are, one is sort of like our historic website. It's got the background and explanatory essays in there. And the other one is more reactive, month to month.
What would you estimate the percentage of voters that are AIP members?
Well, I can tell you we're about 19,000. The Democratic Party, I don't know what the percentage is, okay? The Democratic mm-hmm. Party is four times that size, so that's pretty impressive that we're 25% of the Democrats. They're like 78,000, and the Republicans about 120,000, but the vast majority of Alaskan voters are, 200.
Use and eyes.
They're independents, yeah, right? Independent voters.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a strength. It's a strength that we're building on. We're standing on the shoulders of the people who founded the party in the interior in the 70s and 80s. We have not lost track of how that sacrifice has got to be kept alive. When I'm no longer here, I hope that torch is passed on. I am grooming some new and younger and intelligent talent to take over the control of the party before. I'm 72, and there has to be
succession.
They have succession, not secession yet.
Yeah, succession, yeah.
So I'm grooming new talent and making sure that they understand the purpose of the party.
Is it easy for you being a statewide, or now that you have Zoom and telephones and we don't have to telegraph that much anymore, are you able to conduct business and get people involved?
The Zoom helps, but there's no substitute for being face-to-face, and that's what...
Exactly. You're absolutely right, Bob.
Giving this talk to Wasilla in Anchorage and in Fairbanks and Talkeetna and Delta Junction and, of course, here on the Kenai Peninsula, Mat Valley. I am an old-school guy. I want to see people, meet with them, let them know my sincerity, which you can't get over a Zoom.
Yeah. Well, Bob, it's time for us to wrap up. You got 30 seconds to say anything you want.
Yes, please come and consider joining the Alaskan Independence Party. Come and learn more about it. We're at the Roundup Steakhouse block this Saturday morning. We'll go to about 5. We're going to order off the menu. It costs $100 to attend and vote in the convention if you register with the AIP.
Thank you.
KFAR, they're a great radio station.
Yep. Thank you very much for being on the air. You have a great day, buddy, and I'll be in touch, okay?
Thank you, David.
Yep. And closing up our show here with Mark Thompson, you are the winner, $500. You called in on April 7th, the 11th hour, the 11th minute, when three geese arrived, the official arrival time. You need the trifecta of geese, and you did it, so what the heck. And Fairbanks, that is our show. It's beautiful out. Enjoy yourself. Get outside. It's a little bit too early to wash the car because it's going to get muddy again. Simple as that. I will see you tomorrow. You have a great day.